Welcome to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast, where we bring you sermons from our teaching team at Flood Church Lilongwe, Malawi. For more information, you can go to floodchurch.com.
Genesis 12, verse 1 to 9. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I'll curse. And all peoples on the earth and on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the side of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offsprings I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. You may have your seat. And one of the things that we've been doing in this series is just to kind of hear stories from people in our congregation, some people that have faced some sort of hard ending in their own lives. And today, I want to invite my friend Trezor Mpenzi. We're going to hear, his story this morning. So Trezor, come on up. And let's hear it for Trezor. Hey, Trezor.
Hey, Pastor.
Welcome, man.
Thanks.
Tell me about yourself, your name. What does this Trezor mean anyway? Just talk to me about yourself.
My name is Trezor Mpenzi, as you said. And Trezor is a French name that means treasure in English. I'm married, only one wife.
One.
I've been living here in Malawi since 2013. I'm living here as a refugee. And I'm currently going to school. I'm doing my degree in biblical counseling at Malawi Assemblies of God University.
Okay, so you say Trezor means treasure in English. What language is Trezor?
That's French.
So it's Trezor, like something like that?
Trezor.
Okay. All right. I've talked to you for a while and, learned a lot about your story. But I think I just wanted to talk to you about you being a refugee in Malawi. How has that experience been for you?
Not easy. It's not easy. It's a hard ending. All I knew about refugees is everything I saw on the news when you see half-naked kids, people dying with cholera and all the stuff. That's everything I knew about refugees. I never thought that one day I'll be one of them. But surprisingly, one day I woke up and that was on my journey to become one of them. It's hard. There's a lot of hard times happening in that journey. And I think one of the hardest part of being a refugee is being a stateless person. You don't belong to any nation. You don't belong to your original nation. You don't belong to the nation of host. You're just somewhere in the middle. You don't get all the privilege of the hosting nation as the rights people have. And you don't have the rights from your own country either. So you're just somewhere in the middle. It's really hard. You just kind of lose your own identity.
So, you have this feeling of, I belong to no state, I am here, what are some of those hard things, apart from this feeling of not having a sense of belonging, do you have any other things that you have faced? And I know you have been in the camp in Idzaleka out there.
There's a lot really happening, because when you move as a refugee, you move with nothing. You just left as you are. It's like you're standing up right now and then you go. You don't even know where you're going. You don't have provisions on you. You don't have any money. You don't have anything with you. And then you don't even know how long that will take. So you walk and you just, it's really hard. And then you get in the, I got in the refugee camp, thank God for that, where I had shelter and other necessity for living. But still, it's really tough because you don't, like, you depending on donors, people donating to you, and it's not always enough, or it's not always what it takes to you to live. It's hard to get back to school to get education. It's hard to access medical care, and you left your family in hard situations, and you just kind of being around with people who are mourning and stressed and having all these difficult situations. All you see around you is problems. So it's tough.
Yeah. Just tell me, like, some of the feelings that you have had through being a refugee here. What are, you know, feelings towards yourself, towards God, towards other people?
There is loneliness. You feel lonely. You left your family and everything you're doing. You're just now in a new land. You feel really lonely. And you feel so disappointed. At my age, I had dreams and goals and visions, things I wanted to do with my life. And all of a sudden, nothing's possible. And then it's really, it's hard. You feel disappointed. And you just imagine why God did that to you. Why in all the people, just you singled out to be that person. And living without hope, you're hopeless. You don't see what's happening tomorrow. You don't even think about it, because it doesn't matter, because, man, you just don't even know what's happening. You just live hopeless. Yeah.
Cool. No, thanks for sharing with us, Trezor. And I know, like, we could spend a long time just hearing, you know, things that have happened to you over through this. But also, I know you're telling us that, you know, you're married now. So there's also moments that God has been really good to you as well. How have you experienced God in this season?
Yeah, honestly, God has been with me in that journey. It was hard, but God was with me. One of them, the moment I saw God on my journey is I became a Christian, a born-again Christian in the refugee camp in 2016. That was really a good thing. And for the first time, I experienced the relationship with God into that life. And again, I met my beautiful wife in this life, and then I married her. And that's really a blessing. Now, as I said, I'm at school. I'm pursuing my degree in biblical counseling. It's a blessing to come from the refugee camp and go to university. I know even people who are in their own countries, not everyone is able to afford paying for university, but I am there. I'm also living in the city now. I'm no longer living in the refugee camp. There's some really cool stuff that God have done in my life that even if it's hard, I saw him, and I can see him even now.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Thank you. How can we be praying for you? How can we be praying for you?
I think one of the prayer requests is to accept what God is doing in my life. It's really hard sometimes when you wake up in the morning and you see yourself different from any other person around you, and it's hard even to accept it. So, yeah, I want to accept that and be willing to move with him, whatever is moving me. Yeah.
Yeah, let's just pray for Trezor now. Would you please just raise forth your hand as we pray for him? God, we thank you for Trezor. We thank you, God, for of how good you have been to him. But we also recognize of how hard it is to live as a refugee, where you cannot control a lot of things. A lot of things are decided for you. And we know that is hard. But God, one thing that you do well is that you are with us. Even when things are hard, you are there, and you offer your presence. So, God, I pray that you'll be a pillar in Trezor's life, that, as he says, that to just accept what God has for him, that he will accept that which you have for him. And God, we pray for grace, for we know that grace is very sufficient for him. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, let's hear it for Trezor for that fantastic testimony. And one of the things that we're going to do this morning, you know, I was talking to Trezor, I felt like he's actually the perfect guy to give us the word this morning because, you know, he had to move from his own country. And what we read this morning is Abraham left his country. So, yeah, take us through this, man.
Once again, good morning, Flood Church. It's my pleasure to be here this morning to share with you the word of God. And as he introduced, we're continuing from the same series, Hard Endings, where we're looking at laying down what we want to gain the God we need. And in today's passage, we're talking about laying down our comfort, laying down things we want, laying down our rights, things that belong to us, and move the comfort zone, go with God, go where God is taking us, because where God is better than where it is comfortable. And today, in the moving, we're talking about, like in the story we hear about, Abraham is moving from his country into another country. And I know some of us have experienced that. You left your home countries, you moved to Malawi. Some of us have moved from city to another city, a town to another town. The moving can also be from maybe from one job to another job. You had a job, you had a career. At some point, you moved and started another job, started another career. Moving can also be in terms of relationships. Leaving behind one relationship for another one. And as he said today, we are talking about moving when it's not the most pleasing thing you would love to do. It's not that you have been working on this project, so now you feel so happy that the project is ending, so I'm ready to give it on to someone else to continue. No, it's that ending when you show up to your work in a certain morning and you find a letter on your desk, the boss saying, we're sorry, we don't need your service anymore. That type of endings. That type of endings where you don't have to plan for it. It's not that you are enjoying that you are moving. It's not that your salary raised up, now you're moving from a poor area to a nice area. It's that type of ending when the person you wanted to be with for the rest of your life, the person you trusted, you dreamed life with them, one day they just decide that this can't work anymore. That's the type of endings you're looking for today. And I know this is life situations that we pass through. You probably have gone through such or similar things. Or maybe you are right in the middle of that moment, that season of moving, where the pain is on its climax. Or you probably are heading toward that direction because this happens in life all the time. And they are different from as we differ from our experiences. But we're not here to tell you about how hard it is and how painful it is. But we want to look in the scripture and see God's heart in this moment. Why God allows this to happen to us? Is there a reason for that? And when you look into the story we read from Abraham, he probably had no reason to move. He was probably shocked. He's 75 years old, an old man. He's not a 25 years guy who's ambitious about life. He wants to go discover and travel the whole world. He's 75 years old. Has been living in that country since probably when he was born. He knows everything. He established his life. He's so comfortable. He knows everything about that area. But all of a sudden, at 75 years old, God decided to move him. Probably the God he didn't even know. He probably didn't know this God, but God decided to move him. He had a family. He was not lonely. He was not running away from being, not lacking that place. He had a family. He had friends. And even the passage testified that he moved with Lot, his nephew. That also shows the relationship he had with his relative. They trusted him. He was that person they look up to. He had possessions. He was not poor. He was not running from hunger or famine or anything. He had possessions. He had servants. He had everything that you can call that everyone needs. He had a family, he had a house, he had a home, he had possessions. He was happy to live there. He had no reason to move. And this is the type of endings we're talking about, where you have no reason to move. Where if you had to decide, you would choose otherwise. But you were not given that chance to decide. It's happened. But I'm here to tell you that God is in these situations. God is in the midst of these situations. So, looking into God's heart, using Abraham's story today, one thing I see is that always God do this for a good purpose. He's not just that type of boss who is just pleased to move you around, to maybe shift you from this position to another position, to experiment how you can work in that environment. So if you performed well in this environment, then they can maybe maintain you there or move you again. But he's doing this for a good purpose. He knows what he's doing with you. He knows what he was doing with Abraham. Abraham didn't understand. But in God's nature, he has always made the first step into humanity. He always wanted to restore the humanity back to him. He always initiated the relationships we have with him. He always made the first steps into that. And with Abraham, he's now initiating this move to create a nation. He's stepping into humanity. He wants to dwell with us. He wants to build a nation where he dwells with us so we can have a relationship with him. Now, he chose Abraham to move from the place where he is so he can initiate this new movement, this new nation. Abraham did not understand it. You may not understand it now. But if God is doing that, it's for a good purpose. He may not even tell you why he's doing that, because you may not understand it now. But he knows why he moved Abraham from there to where he was taking him. Secondly, we see that in the passage again, God bless and guides us when we are in those troubled moments. He knows that movement is not easy. He knows we cannot stand alone into that situation. He promised to bless and to guide us. In the passage we read in verse 1, he said, "Go to the land, I'll show you." It was not just move and just figure out and just move everywhere you want. But he was like, no, you are moving from this place to the land, I will show you. God is promising to guide him. He says, I'm with you. I know the destination. Just trust me. Let's do this together. I'm taking you to the land, I will show you. He's promising to guide us. And if you can, in verse 2 he says, I'll make you into a great nation and I'll bless you. I'll make your name great and you will be a blessing. God is saying, I'll bless you. Not only blessing you, but actually your name will become a blessing. There is a blessing in this hard moment that God is taking you into that journey. He says, I'm with you, I'm guiding you, and I'm also going to bless you. This is an encouragement to us this morning. In those moments where you don't see why this is happening, how this is going to end, why is it even happening? But God is like, wait, I'm going to bless you. Your name will become a blessing. He's telling it to Abraham. Abraham could not understand this probably this moment. And again, in this passage, some really cool thing I discovered is that our obedience to follow God becomes a blessing to so many other people. It's a selfless act. It was not only Abraham was going to be blessed because he said yes to God, but the entire earth is blessed in the name because Abraham said yes to God. Our willingness to say yes and move with God is always a blessing to us, but to many other people that we don't even know they exist. There are sometimes you are going through hard moment and people don't even talk to you, but they see you, they see how you're standing, and they feel encouraged in that moment. You're becoming a blessing to so many other people you don't even know. God told Abraham, he said, to your offspring, I'll give this nation. This land now become a nation, become a place for this nation that God is establishing. Abraham saying yes, become a blessing to the whole entire generation that will come after him. Abraham had no idea that this is going to happen this way. But saying yes to God become a blessing to even the people around us. We can even see this in so many other stories in the Bible. What comes to mind right now is the story of Moses. Moses, the time he spoke to God, he was about 80 years old that time. And he was also stable. He had a family by that time. He had a job. He was a shepherd. He was just quite like that. He was like, I'm done everything. So now I'm just waiting for my time to come. And all of a sudden, God shows up and like, Moses, actually, I have a deal with you. I want you to do something with me and for me. And Moses was not expecting that type of deal. God was like, actually, you're moving from here. Go back to Egypt. Moses was like, no, God, you probably don't know what you're talking about. Like, let me give you the reason why I cannot go back to Egypt. There are so many reasons. I'm not moving now. Like, one, you know, Pharaoh is looking for me, so I cannot bring myself back to him. That's impossible. And even if you say yes to that and protect me, I don't even know how to talk. I can't even speak to him. So there's no reason for me to move from here back to Egypt. But God was like, hey, chill. I'm with you. I'm going to do this with you. Let's do this together. And when Abraham was convinced and finally said yes to that, the willingness for Abraham to say yes to that and leave back everything he had, laying down his comfort, laying down his rights and everything he had worked hard for, became a huge blessing to the entire nation of Israel. For him willing to step in out of his comfort zone into a very not comfortable zone, it was a lot of trouble. He didn't know how long this mission would last. He probably thought maybe just one day talk to Pharaoh and then we'll come back to be done. But it took years, actually his entire life. But by him saying yes, it became a blessing to the entire nation of Israel. There are so many examples in the Bible that we see when people said yes to God, God always used it as a way to bless so many other people. God is not moving us because he's just pleased to see how we do in uncomfortable zone. He's not doing experiment with us. He has reasons and good reasons to do that for us. And as I'm going to finish up here, as Pastor Humphreys will come and take it from here, I just want you to remember that where God is better than where it is comfortable. We are moving from a place where we wanted to be so we can gain the God we need. We're following him where he is so we can be with him. We can gain him because where he is, it's always better than where it is comfortable. May God bless you.
Yeah, and this is Trezor's first time to preach at Flood. Yeah, come on, dude. So good, so good. Yeah, and you know, that truth is absolutely amazing that, you know, God, you know, where God is better than where it is comfortable, because our view is that where we are is better, but actually where God is better than where we are comfortable. And Trezor has done such a fantastic job of just bringing out this truth from this passage. And when I think about, when I think about how God responds to comfortability, is that maybe he will bring disruption. In my own life, he'll bring disruption where I'm at. And sometimes he does that. But I think God's solution often, in scripture, God's solution to our comfortability is that he gives us a journey. He gives us a journey. And you see in the passage that we have read that he gave Abraham a journey. The example that Trezor was giving of Moses, who was comfortable attending to his father-in-law's sheep, and that God comes and calls him and God gives him a journey. He says, you're so comfortable here, I'm going to give you a journey. You see it, with Elisha, Elisha, who was doing a farming business, and God sends his prophet, comes in, and he calls him, and Elisha drops off everything, sells everything, and he goes on a journey. You see it with the disciples of Jesus, Matthew, John, these guys, Andrew, that have been invited by Jesus. When Jesus says to them, you're so comfortable in your business, you're so comfortable in your life, that I'm going to give you a journey, so follow me. And so God's solution to our comfortability is that he gives us a journey. And I was just thinking, why does God give us journeys? And why does he do this? And, in that scripture that Trezor read this morning, that the first verse, the end of it, he says, I will take you to the land, I will show you. I will show you. Journeys shape our perspectives. Journeys do shape our perspectives. Because when we are comfortable, we're in just one space, we will not really understand or comprehend how big life is. What are the things God is doing? We will not comprehend, what other ways that God works. Because we can be in one space and God used to how God works. Get used to how God does things. And he says, I will take you on a journey and I will give you a different perspective. I will show you. I will show you and you will do the seeing. I'm going to give you a different perspective. I remember in 2015, we traveled to Mozambique. And by then, the four of us, Kate, Edith, Kate was just my girlfriend then. We're not married yet. And two of our friends that we went on this trip to Mozambique. And Kate lost a few things there. I think a phone and something else that she lost. So I was with her being, the best boyfriend I could be to her, giving her a shoulder to cry on. That's what you do, guys. And she says, that day she made a decision that I'm going to marry this man. I'm going to marry this man. Everybody say, aww. Come on, guys, come on. It's beautiful. She could not have seen that perspective if she didn't take a journey with me. And she took a journey. She took a journey and she had a different perspective of how do I handle a tough situation? How does Humphreys react when something crazy happens? And she had a different perspective. And when you go on a journey, God shows you. He gives you a different perspective. But also, when you go on a journey, in that, as it says, I will show you, journeys have a way of shaping our dependency, that we fully depend on God. We fully depend on God. So when you're going to take a journey with God, you know that he's inviting you to fully depend on him. Probably, I know you have taken trips before. You have gone maybe camping before. And there's a lot of uncertainties on the road, isn't it? You don't know how things will work out. You might have a flat tire. You don't know where to get what. And you just have to depend. You just have to depend. When you take a journey, you're probably, going to depend on people you meet on the road asking for direction. How can I get to that place? How can I do this? And you are almost, just helpless without others. You actually want to depend on other people to help you and to stand with you. So journeys have a way, shaping our dependency that we will depend on God. And God says, I will show you. I will show you. And some of you right now might have experienced an ending in your own life. And that God might be inviting you on a journey that probably where you're at, you will be unable to fully depend on God. So he moves you to a place that you can totally and fully depend on him. And he takes you on this journey, the journey that will invite you to dependence, that you depend on God. You depend on him. You rely on him. You fully depend on him. So he says, I will show you. I will show you. Just trust me. I'm going to show you. Trust me. Take this step of faith. Take it. Take this step of faith. And lastly, journeys have a way of shaping our patience. When you go on a road trip, you can't just turn on your cooker and cook whatever you want. You're gonna either set up a fire and wait, and fires take long to cook and simmer. You know, they take long to cook your rice. So you might have to wait for some things. And God might be taking you on a journey, maybe because where we are so comfortable that we depend on quick fixes. We know where to get what. We know what comes when. You know, and God takes you on a journey that you can actually learn to depend on Him. And patience. Patience is often learnt on a journey and not in a place of comfort. Because when you're in a place of comfort, you know, I'm going to call this person, they'll bring this. I'm going to go there, I'm going to find this. But when you take a journey, you don't know where you're going to find what. So you're going to be patient. When you ask for something and that government office takes 5 days, something that could have gotten in 20 minutes, you will learn patience. You will learn patience. And patience is learned when we're on a journey rather than when you're in places of comfort. And Abraham was so comfortable. Abraham was in a land that was a worshiping idols. Probably he was a worship idol. He was an idol worshiper himself. Probably he was keeping some idols himself because that's what the things that he knew all of his life. But God invites him on a journey that, you know what, I'm inviting you that you're going to worship someone who is better. I'm going to invite you on a journey. And he obeyed God. And as Trezor was saying, that our obedience, sometimes when we feel like I obey God and it is for my own good, but actually God uses our obedience to bless other people. And one of the greatest examples that we have is Jesus. You know, Jesus Christ leaves his comfort. Jesus Christ leaves heaven and comes on earth. And because he obeys God, because he obeys God, all of us are blessed. If you want to believe in him, you are blessed. And if you believe in him, you are blessed through Jesus. Now, what journey is God inviting you where he wants you to learn how to rely and depend on him, where he wants you to learn to be patient? In a way, God is, you know, inviting you to change your perspective on how you look at him, how you look at life, how you look at yourself, how you look at family, how you look at work. Maybe there's spaces that God is inviting you so that he challenges you. He challenges you. And there will be some of you that are yet to get on a journey with Jesus. Maybe you have not really given your life to Jesus, and you come in this space because you love, you know, our community. You come in this space maybe because you appreciate certain things that this community does or represent. But God is inviting you on a journey to come and follow God, to come and follow Jesus. You might be in a space full of guilt because of the sins you have committed. You might be in a space full of shame, fear, and you know you do not have that relationship with God. And just today we're going to do communion, but before we do that communion, I want to invite you, and I want to let you know that Jesus Christ is inviting you on a journey. He's inviting you on a journey. And what you can do is to say yes, is to say yes to Jesus on that journey. I'm just going to lead us in a prayer, and you can pray with me this prayer this morning. Just come to him and say, Lord Jesus, I come to you. I know that I'm a sinner in need of your grace. I cannot help myself. Forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, I invite you to be my leader, the leader of my life, that I can follow you faithfully. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast. Please send us your feedback by commenting below or by emailing floodlilongwe@gmail.com.